So helping employees have that transparency around their own skill set, as well as helping them understand where might they go next with their own careers.
So hello and a warm welcome to a new edition of Die Lernkurve, the podcast for all fans of corporate learning and communication. We want to keep you up to date on what's going on in the world of digital communication and digital learning. Today's episode will be in English, as you hopefully already realized, but this is on an exceptional basis and has to do with our guest. Today we are trying to answer the question, new skilling and upskilling, what is it all about? And I have a wonderful guest today, as just said, to help us answer this question. It's Heidi Spiergi, Chief Marketing and Strategy Officer at Cornerstone On Demand in Los Angeles. Welcome, Heidi. Great that you're here with us.
Guten Tag. Grüezi miteinander. Grüß Gott. Eigentlich wollte ich mich in der deutschen Sprache vorstellen. Ich habe für 3 Jahre in der Schweiz gelebt, aber das war vor 20 Jahren und ich bin sehr rustig. So I'm going to continue in English, Dirk.
This sounds perfect. Perfect German, perfect Swiss. And that's what I wanted to ask. Yeah, so Heidi Spiergi sounds so Swiss, yeah?
It's about as Swiss as you can get. I actually don't have any Swiss heritage, but my husband is from the German part of Switzerland. So, and of course, when he met a Heidi, he just knew it was destiny, an American Heidi. So yes, I have an adopted Swiss family through my husband.
Okay.
So just a little bit of background on myself.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So as you said, I'm the Chief Strategy and Marketing Officer at Cornerstone. We're one of the leading people development companies in the world. We're headquartered in Los Angeles, but we've had offices in Europe for over 15 years, and we've been in Germany for over 10. We have offices in Munich and Dusseldorf. I personally have over 20 years of experience in HR and talent management technology industry. I actually started my career in the HR IT department at Swiss Bank Corporation in Zurich. And since then, I've really sat in pretty much every seat in the HR technology world, from spending about half of my time working for technology vendors and about half of my time consulting. I founded my own consulting HR technology consulting organization, working with large global companies to help them really get more value out of their investments in technology and to really think differently about how technology can be leveraged to transform their workplace and serve people differently.
So this sounds like you're the right person for the topic today. Yeah, topic new skilling and upskilling. So these are buzzwords flying around in every conversation with learning professionals, learning stakeholders. But it might not be clear for everybody what these buzzwords actually mean and how they're different from one another. So how can new skilling and upskilling be defined and differentiated from your point of view?
Yeah, let me step back a little bit and give a little bit of context about why these terms came to be in the first place and why the term new skilling is really an up and coming way of thinking about skills. You know, it's not new in HR to be talking about development and about how do we ensure our teams and our people are continuously developing and building new skill and new capability. But what has changed is the pace of change in the world of work. It's a couple of interesting statistics that I think ground the conversation. So the World Economic Forum predicts that by 2025, 50% of tasks will be completed by machines at parity with humans. Currently, we're at 76. So we're going to go from 76 to 50% of tasks just in the next 5 years alone. And what that means is that 85 million jobs will disappear by 2025, but 97 million will be created, new jobs requiring entirely new skill set. And what that also means is that half of all skills will atrophy in the next 5 years. Clearly, the pandemic accelerated this. We saw overnight organizations becoming much more focused on how do they continuously equip their business and their teams with the learning opportunities in order to pivot and become more adaptive and more agile based on all of the things that were thrown at them as a result of the pandemic. But it's not just the pandemic. This is the new normal. And it's really important to understand this is not just going to be a big sprint over the next 5 years. This isn't just a one-time shift caused by automation that will then go back to the era that we are accustomed to in terms of how we built HR and talent processes. This change is constant, and organizations are really going to be able to constantly need to evaluate what are the new skills, the emerging skills that their businesses are going to need, constantly evaluate employees' individual capabilities, as well as then understand what adjacent skills that employee might have in order to, number one, upskill them, of course, which is, to go back to your specific question, what's the difference? You know, upskilling is not necessarily, it's not a 180-degree pivot. It is a continual evolution and improvement upon existing skills, whereas new skills is really taking a data-driven approach that recognizes that work itself is changing and that we need to identify those emerging skills leveraging AI, and then we need to equip employees with adjacent skills or interest in skills for entirely new skills that are coming on the horizon.
Okay. And this process you're describing, this impressive process and continuous process, but nevertheless also happening rapidly, affects employees, as you just described, which have roles which are about to change significantly or even might completely disappear. And then coming to technology, how can digital tools and platforms support this new skilling, upskilling process? And what do, I don't know if you have an impression, what do employees already expect from these tools and platforms to do for them or to help them?
Yeah, well, I think one of the interesting things is, and the exciting things is that technology and specifically AI is now able to solve a problem that HR departments have struggled with for decades. When I was doing a lot of consulting work with large global organizations, I spent a lot of time with them thinking about competency models and helping them understand what an agile competency model looks like. And the reality is that skills are changing far too quickly. And quite honestly, they always have been changing too quickly for HR to be able to codify the skills and competencies that are needed, map them to individual jobs and roles, and then maintain it over time. It is a very labor-intensive process that is out of date before the work is even completed. So in enters technology to solve that problem entirely differently. So I think that is really exciting because it can support a view and a library of skills that's continuously evolving. The other thing that technology and tools can do for organizations is that the number one thing that we hear from customers, and plenty of data has shown this, is that the biggest barrier to reskilling is a lack of time. So efficiency is absolutely essential. So not only efficiency in terms of creating your programs, creating that skills library or ontology, and developing the appropriate learning courses that map to the skills that you want to develop, but also in how we deliver it. How do we connect to the people in the moment of need and do it in the context of their work and in the tools they're already working in, just to make it easier and build it into the day-to-day of an employee, as opposed to expecting them to have the time to carve out separate blocks of learning time to go and learn. So what we call learning in the flow of work, it brings the learning in micro and nano learning learning bites to the employee where they're actually already working. So anything we can do to streamline the process and connect with the employee regularly to continuously develop them is key. And I think your second question was, what can employees expect from them?
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is a really interesting question.
You already answered part of it. So it sounded like relevance of the content and content being presented in a convenient way, right? Are these aspects?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's relevant content, it's personal content, it's an understanding and kind of a transparent view of what skills the company values, what skills do I have, what are adjacent skills that I could develop and adjacent career paths that I might move into that are a desired roles within the company, emerging new skills that the organization highly values, and where can I go next? I think about an example of a finance manager who is not content and not interested in the finance function. They went to school and studied finance and thought it would be a great career path for them. And they say they realize, several years into their career that they're burnt out and not getting energy from it. So then what do they do? Do they go back to school? Well, what are those other careers? What are those other roles in the organization that need data fluency, that need data analysis? And as we know, there are plenty of roles in every business function that needs that type of skill set. So helping employees have that transparency around their own skill set, as well as helping them understand where might they go next with their own careers.
Okay, so it helps employees to also maybe develop in an area close to the skill areas they already have and see that there are opportunities and help
Yeah.
maybe leveraging these opportunities, identifying and leveraging these
Exactly.
opportunities.
One other thing I'd love to mention is that this notion of a diversity, equity, and inclusion is really becoming increasingly important in organizations. And one of the things companies struggle to do is to create equity, which means providing to ensuring that all people are seen for their uniqueness and their skill sets, and it's not just who you know and who you have relationships with. So it levels the playing field as well to a degree, requiring less of managers and leaders to be able to ensure that everyone is given an equal chance at a new opportunity, and leveraging data and deeper insights into people and their skill sets that maybe they developed at pri in prior jobs, may not have anything to do with their current jobs, but to ensure that we have full visibility into our talent, and giving everyone an equal opportunity to compete for new jobs and new opportunities.
This sounds kind of compelling, really. You already described some developments already in process, and experts say that 65% of first graders in 2035 will work in jobs which today, 2021, do not even exist yet. So, from your view, how can companies best prepare for this enormous wave of new skilling to come? And prepare the learning strategy and everything else needed for that.
Yeah. So first of all, that statistic is terrifying. It's just
It
mind-boggling to think about that, and to think about the fact that that is only 15 years from now, and it's jobs that literally don't exist today, and we can't even imagine what those jobs are, much less the skills that are going to
Yeah.
be needed. And I think one of the things that's important is that as a result of that rapid change, what that means is that the skills and the education that people are getting through their traditional educational path are not going to be the skills that are needed when they're in the workforce. So what does that mean for businesses? Number one, it means they need to look for people who have the innate learning capacity and curiosity to continuously learn and develop new skills, because throughout the course of someone's career, they will be what's going to differentiate those people and businesses that thrive and are successful from those who just struggle to survive. Is this ability to learn, unlearn, and relearn? And so that's, I think, a hiring capability that we need to really keep at the fore of our minds as we bring people into the workforce. But just as importantly, it really puts learning and development and skilling initiatives at the heart of business strategy. Businesses will not be able to assume that they are going to be able to acquire the skills through hiring people. They're going to have to build them on their own. So some of as I think about this and I work with our customers on the how and what and where do we go from here, I really think of kind of three initial steps. The first is you have to have a tool that gives you that single normalized view of the skills across your organization, regardless of geography, of language, of hierarchy. It's a normalizing view of skills across your org. And that's the starting point. We call that a skills ontology. You can call it a skills library, but it does need to be built and based off of AI for all the reasons I shared earlier. It's too difficult to try to pretend that we can track these skills on our own. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you need to think about once you have your skills ontology in place, you need to connect those skills to learning. Skills in and of themselves maybe are interesting, but unless you actually can do something with them and use them to continuously develop people, the skills are become more a matter of curiosity than anything else. So you need to also, by leveraging AI, connect your skills library to smart development tools so that people, based on their skills that they are developing based on either improving performance in role or emerging skills that they want to develop for their next role, they need to be able to know what learning they can take. How do they develop those skills? Mm-hmm. So that connectivity to learning. And then the third thing I always recommend is to start to think about skills beyond the connected tissue to learning, but what experiences and projects and activities, really connecting skills to multiple things, because we know learning, formal learning is only 10% of how people learn. So how can you look at experiential learning through projects or gig work, or even learning, recommended learning activities and experiences that people can practice what they've learned from a learning course in order to develop that skill? So that it is something of a maturity hierarchy, which I just walked you through, and obviously starts with the skills ontology. Next, you move into learning. And then lastly, you start to think beyond traditional learning into some of the experiential components of learning.
That's interesting. So for me, it seems like the most relevant shift probably is also a culture shift. The things you just described, in most of the companies, they are not existing. Like they're not looking so much for the curiosity and ability to learn, but more for the skills. Still, I think most of the companies.
Yes.
And also the putting learning in at the heart of the business strategy, as you said, is also something which is not the case today in most of the companies. So, besides from the topics you described, also this cultural shift is really a big shift to be done. Yeah.
Yeah, it's massive. In fact, there are days when I think I should go back to the consulting world and just help organizations with that, because every CEO knows how important reskilling is, but to your point, most organizations haven't made that shift. Yeah. And it's a really interesting one, and it impacts job design as well, because we do have to create capacity and expectation that people are developing themselves, and really holding people accountable to that, looking at that as a measurement of performance, because the business will not be able to thrive if people don't invest and make the time.
They have to make sure that they stay employable. Yeah, that's individual's responsibility.
Yeah. You have to earn your right to continue to be employed by developing yourself.
Okay, one final question, Heidi. You already mentioned AI, artificial intelligence. It's hot everywhere, also in skill management. So what is AI already capable today in skill management? You already briefly touched upon it. And what will, from your perspective, be future capabilities of AI in skill and talent management in a few years' time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first of all, AI and probably the most sort of breakthrough part of AI in HR right now is this ability to leverage AI to build this skills inventory. And it is really hard. You have vast amounts of unstructured data across, in many instances, such as many instances across millions and millions of positions and jobs, you know, with different language and synonyms and different levels of skill and adjacent skills and synonyms. It's really a very difficult problem for data scientists to solve, which is why HR has struggled with it so long. So building this rationalized skills inventory, as well as to maintain that skills inventory over time. So AI will look for and identify new patterns that are emerging within the data to identify new and emerging skills. So going back to your comment about jobs that don't exist and the skills that are needed, well, we need to leverage AI to be able to identify those skills as we start to see them across a vast set of unstructured data. So I think that's pretty darn exciting. Secondly, AI is also leveraged in the matching. So if you think about a person's resume and how unstructured that data is, and you as a hiring manager or as an internal manager, you look at their job profile or their resume and you try to make sense out of it. And you kind of sort of begin to look at, well, these skills, I think this person might have these skills and they might fit for these jobs. Yes. But that matching is really tough. And AI does the work of the matching. And then lastly, AI also is leveraged to look at another set of unstructured data called learning content and identify can be used to identify the skills in your digital learning assets so that you don't have to do all of the manual tagging and association of skills. Of course, you know, human review is always going to be helpful and needed, but AI, it can be this massive assist by looking at, through natural language processing, looking at your content, your learning content, and identifying the associated skills. So that's I'd say current state. Where we're going next is exciting, because where we go next is really about,
it's already exciting today. What you described, really exciting. Yeah.
And where we're going next is really to take all of that goodness that I just described and serve it up to people in the context of work, so that they're nudged and prompted and guided in a way that is hyper personalized to them and knows AI can be leveraged, because it also takes unstructured data through maybe your collaboration tools or your Microsoft Office content and identify things that you're working on and make suggestions for things you might be interested in learning and make suggestions about for projects or upcoming roles that you might want to consider. And also to give you, you know, tips and coaching as a manager on how to best work with your employees based on everything that we know about your employee. So a lot of interesting stuff to come that gets me excited.
It really, really sounds promising and exciting. So yeah, let's have a joint look at it, at the future. Wonderful. Thanks a lot, Heidi, for the great insights and perspective on new skilling and upskilling. I perceived it as very inspiring, very helpful. Thanks a lot. And I hope, and I think so, it's also inspiring and helpful for our audience. Thank you for being with us, Heidi. It was great having you here.
Thanks.
Greetings to Lake Tahoe. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It was good fun. Great chat.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Heidi.
Bye-bye.